It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning and welcome to worship on this wonderful day, brothers and sisters. This is a preparation day, the 5th of May. May God bless each one of you today. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into house of the Lord. It's time for prayer. Father, be with us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for life. We thank you for strength. We thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for just being with us. We ask that your name will be glorified and that your Holy Spirit will fill us. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time now for us to have our opening song. And the opening song is It's About Time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
We've entitled this The Ascension of Christ. We're starting with Acts chapter 1. We'll be studying the book of Acts as the Lord leads. Let's pray. Father, be with us this morning. We thank you so much for this day. We ask for the Spirit of the living God to fall afresh upon us, and we ask that your names will be honored and your spirit will be filling us today. Thank you for all you've done for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All right, my friends, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's very interesting, brothers and sisters. You can tell Luke, who I believe wrote the book of Acts, is a prolific writer, because this is, when you write, you're supposed to tell the people what you're going to tell them. Then when you write the book, you tell them. And then at the end, you give them a conclusion and you tell them what you told them. Okay? So he's basically putting an introduction. It's a perfect introduction. He said, I'm going to be telling you about the ascension of Jesus and how he spent a little time with his disciples, so on and so forth. In verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. You know, I want to say this. God guides in every little step. He tells you exactly what to do. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path, Proverbs 3:6. And so we have to trust God to believe that he knows exactly what the enemy's doing. He knows exactly what step the enemy's taking. He knows what steps to take to save a soul. And he might allow you to go to jail so you can be present to save a soul, brothers and sisters. And so when we give our hearts to God, it is a full surrender. You're just in it for the ride because you don't know where God's going to take you. But he has promised to be your guide, your strength, your help, your support, and your peace. And so let's surrender fully to him today. And so that's what Jesus is doing. He's giving them specific instructions. Don't leave Jerusalem till you get the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father. For it says in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, it's very interesting because in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me, trying to get it to go down a little bit. Okay. Is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So this is part of that promise. They would be baptized with the Holy Ghost, but he said the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so, and he says, not many days hence in verse 5, Jesus is telling them this. So keep in mind, Jesus died on Calvary. He had to ascend back to heaven to make sure the sacrifice was accepted, because he told Mary, touch me not, I have not yet ascended. Then he came back down and spent 40 days with his disciples. And this is at the end of that 40 days. He's telling them, don't leave Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father. Verse 6, it says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou then at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now, I'm going to stop here. Even when we are converted and even when we have come to a knowledge of the truth, we are still victims of the things we've learned in the past. We're constantly unlearning. They learned from the rabbis, the priests, the Sadducees, that God was going to set up an earthly kingdom of the Jews. Again, you see, but once they had murdered the Savior, the significance of Judaism is gone. We are now spiritual Israel, Paul said. And so, friends, all of the attention about, you know, as far as spiritual blessings that would come to Israel, and you see the evangelicals focusing their attention over there, that's not biblical. It's just not. He said, them that honor me, I will honor. They rejected him. They killed the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, brothers and sisters, their ancestors, okay? Now, I'm not talking about salvation. Any person can be saved. He just is not making the Jewish nation his chosen people. It is those who accept Christ that are now considered the chosen people, friends. And that's well supported, and we'll read that as we read through Romans and other books, okay? All right, that being said, let's keep reading. When they therefore come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Jesus didn't even answer the question. He knew they would understand it by and by. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. A lot of people think that when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he causes you to speak gibberish. A lot of people believe that when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he causes women to fall over and their body parts be exposed so that other women have to cover them up with blankets. That's what a lot of people believe when the Holy Ghost comes upon them. A lot of people believe that when the Holy Ghost comes them, it just causes you to just wave your hands to the left and the right to the beat of the drum, okay? A lot of people believe that when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shout and dance. That's not what the Bible teaches, brothers and sisters. You shall receive power. What is power? Power is to have victory over sin and to be a witness for God. You're in your mind, friends. You're not speaking in, you're not having, because a lot of these people will go to church, have that experience, come out of church and say, did you see what kind of dress she had on? Start talking about people. You can't be full of the Holy Ghost at 12 o'clock and be full of the devil at 1 o'clock. It doesn't work that way, brothers and sisters. That's not the Holy Spirit. It is a spirit, but it is not the Holy Spirit. He does not work that way. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, and the devil uses emotional Christianity to keep people from studying their Bibles the way they ought to do it, and that is happening in every denomination, friends, and I'm here to tell you, if we don't get back to the Word, we're not going to make it. Only those who have fortified their minds with the truths of God's Word will be able to stand in the last great conflict, okay? That's why the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now, I don't have all the scriptures in front of me. I wasn't prepared at this time to go into this. But sometimes the Bible will call a man an angel, but it's very clearly some divinely sent being, okay, because they weren't there before. And all of a sudden, boom, these men appear. These are angels in the form of men. In the book of Daniel, it'll speak of Gabriel as an angel, and it'll speak of Gabriel as a man, okay? So just be aware of that. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So there is no secret rapture. They saw him go into heaven, brothers and sisters. And they said he's going to come, the men, that he's going to come in like manner. Well, how did he go? On a cloud. Then they returned unto Jerusalem from Mount Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had come in, they were in the upper room. They went into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. Now, before we go in there, I want to take you to Revelation 1:7. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Just like the eyes present saw him go, every eye will see him when he comes. It is not secret, brothers and sisters. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It was created by the devil. He used a Roman Catholic Jesuit to write it up, because the purpose of that secret rapture is to add to it the concept of a antichrist in the long distant future, so that would help them not to understand or think that the Pope was not antichrist. The Pope is antichrist. Antichrist means in place of Christ. You can be antichrist. It's not just one antichrist. When you teach error and you have people worshiping you as a minister, you're antichrist. You're putting yourself in place of Christ. They should be worshiping him and listening to him. He said in Matthew 15:8, in vain do you worship me when you teach as a doctrine a man-made commandment. The worship is vain, my brothers and sisters. And so, brothers and sisters, here we are. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of his disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. And see, this is powerful. Before they receive the Holy Ghost, they're going to make that wrong right, you know. They love Judas. They thought Judas was the best thing since sliced bread. He was so intelligent, so articulate, knew numbers, was the treasurer, just had it going. But God reads the heart. Judas was not sought after by Christ, but Christ did allow him to come and chose him to be one of his 12 and did all he could to convert Judas. But Judas would not allow selfishness to be burnt out of his soul. He would not allow covetousness to be burnt out of his soul. He would not allow pride to be burnt out of his soul, even with the love of Christ. It says, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that as that field is called in their proper tongue, a Seldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man therein dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. So Peter is going from the Bible in the Old Testament, saying that it's prophesying that Judas would apostatize and that another would take his place. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. They appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lot, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So, brothers and sisters, that's how Christ ascended. And then the apostles are getting prepared to receive the Holy Spirit. They replace Judas, who had betrayed Christ and therefore committed suicide when he realized what he had, the magnitude of what he had done. See, sometimes we think we know more than Christ. Judas was actually thinking that he was smarter than God. And so he decided he was going to betray Christ, thinking he would force Christ to show his hand and reveal his power. He said, surely he's not going to let him kill him, so I'll just get on the side of the priest. See, but and I'll just, you know, betray him. But you see, when Christ allowed himself to be taken and allowed himself to be beaten and allowed himself to be assaulted, Judas knew, uh-oh, I have messed up. And because his repentance was not sincere, he just threw down the 30 pieces of silver, the Bible says, and he went and bought a field and hung himself, okay? And bottom line, or let me say, I'm not sure if he bought the field, but the bottom line is he hung himself, okay? And so there you have it, friends. Let's always be in a state of surrender to Christ. If you are not, you're on a path to perdition. God is love. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your grace and peace and mercy. And I pray that you bless us now in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, friends, we're going to be talking about in the sick room from Sister Lenny in a moment. And so we're going to now go to the torso psalm.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Praise God. All right, my friend, it's time now to hear from Sister Lenny in the sick room.
Good morning. Happy Friday to everyone. This morning's health segment is coming from the Ministry of Healing, pages 86 to 87. In the sick room, those who minister to the sick should understand the importance of careful attention to the laws of health. Nowhere is obedience to these laws more important than the sick room. Nowhere does so much depend upon faithfulness in little things on the part of the attendants. In cases of serious illness, a little neglect, a slight inattention to a patient's special needs or dangers, the manifestation of fear, excitement, or petulance, even a lack of sympathy, may turn the scale that is balancing life and death and cause to go down to the grave a patient who otherwise may have recovered. The efficiency of the nurse depends to a great degree upon physical vigor. The better the health, the better will she be able to endure the strain of attendance upon the sick, and the more successfully can she perform her duties. Those who care for the sick should give attention to diet, cleanliness, fresh air, and exercise. Like carefulness on the part of the family will enable them also to endure the extra burdens brought upon them and will help to prevent them from contracting disease. Where the illness is serious, requiring the attendance of a nurse night and day, the work should be shared by at least two efficient nurses so that each may have opportunity for rest and for exercise in the open air. This is especially important in cases where it is difficult to secure an abundance of fresh air in the sick room. Through ignorance of the importance of fresh air, ventilation is sometimes restricted, and the lives of both patient and attendant are often in danger. If proper precaution is observed, non-contagious diseases need not be taken by others. Let the habits be correct, and by cleanliness and proper ventilation, keep the sick room free from poisonous elements. Under such conditions, the sick are much more likely to recover, and in most cases, neither attendants nor the members of the family will contract the disease. You know, when I read that title, I thought about my mother, who I and other siblings was caring for until she passed away. But there were a couple of siblings who would sometimes say some negative things. I would look at my mother's, look at her and see that those words were bothering her. Her blood pressure would go up, her temperature would go up sometimes. But more importantly, I'm watching her, and her facial expression has totally changed, and I could tell that what they were saying was hurting her. And I can remember having to ask those members to please leave her room. I know what it says in here, but I'm just adding that on because we have to pay attention to what we say to people, especially when they're sick. We have to just love them up and do what God would have us to do. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you listening today. May you have a happy, healthy day today. God bless you.
And God bless you, Sister Lenny. That was beautiful. It was wonderful. And we know what you're talking about, you know. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, as we minister to my mother, you know, we have beautiful, soft music playing most of the time. And if it's not beautiful, soft music playing, it will be us singing. And if not, sometime we'll give her a break. But, you know, we're careful that, you know, just the things mom is used to watching, you know, just kept up with the world, nightly news. We're not going to play nightly news at this time in her life. She doesn't need to know all the craziness that's going on in the world. So this was very, very timely. And definitely, friends, you know, I don't know if you caught the part, but it can cause that person to pass who might live if they had positive influences around them. So thank you for that reading, sister. It is now time for us to open the phone line. It is about 6:32. We've got about 28 minutes to the top of the hour. We definitely want to do roll call. We've got a good friend out of Virginia on Facebook. And on the call, we're glad. We haven't seen our dear sister Desiree in a minute. We're glad to have her back. I just wanted to call her by name. But we have Virginia on the line. We have Alabama on the line. We have Maryland on the line. We have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Ohio again. We have South Carolina, and we have Georgia. God bless each of you all. Phone lines are open, as I said. Brothers and sisters, all I can tell you is that, you know, when a person is not on dialysis, they don't have the functions that the kidneys were doing and that dialysis was substituting for. By medical standards, death is inevitable, and I'm not suggesting that it's not inevitable, except that God can work any kind of miracle he wants to work. But at the same time, we're prepared. I believe at the age of almost 93, my mom, the Bible could say of her, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, you see. But at the same time, they said she would be gone as of yesterday. That means she's had actually 15 full days. Now she's in her 16th day with no dialysis. And that is very unheard of. You know, we're just here along for the ride. What do I mean by that? God is in control, and he has given us an assignment. That assignment was to take care of our mother while she's in her last years, and that's been a 2+ year, 2.5 year blessing. And, you know, mom has been plant-based, and which they tell you can't be on dialysis, but she was, and she did well. She recovered well, and everybody said, we don't know what you're doing, but you're taking good care of her. That's, God is to be praised for that. But she's still with us. She's still drinking a little bit through a dropper that we just use, a plastic dropper we just squirt into her mouth. And by now, she's not supposed to be swallowing. So, you know, it just shows, I don't know if it's just a testimony that God is just saying, listen, I'm going to continue to show myself powerfully a witness that my health plan works. So it even sustains life when it's the other is inevitable. So that's the report. We're just resting with her, taking this time with her, and definitely it's bittersweet. We cry tears from time to time, but at the same time, we get a little excited about just seeing interesting things, you know, seeing her perk up sometimes when they say, well, she'll probably by this time not even be able to recognize anybody or speak, and, you know, she's smiling and saying hello, and that type of thing. Now, I don't want to give the wrong impression. For the majority of the day, she's resting, she's sleeping, she's not responsive, but there are elements of their times. Like right before the broadcast, I gave her a little bit of fluids with the dropper. It was actually during the break. And she took it, and she didn't cough. She swallowed it. And so that tells me she is still swallowing, and God is good. So that being said, I'm going to go to the phone line. We've got our dear sister from Ohio on the line. Good morning, dear sister. God bless you.
Good morning, and God bless you, too, and everyone on the line. I had never heard that they say you can't be have a plant-based diet while on dialysis. Can you speak on that a little bit? I mean, do they tell you there's a good purpose to not being on a plant-based diet, or do they say it interferes with dialysis, or what? Thank you. God bless you, and you are doing an awesome job with your mom. You will be blessed for that.
To the God be the glory. Thank you for your prayers. So what happens, sister, is that the kidneys, when they're not well, they do take protein and put the protein back into the blood. So when you don't have proper kidney function, you tend to have a lower protein count. So they want you to eat a lot of meat. Because they say that's the only way to get protein. Well, we knew, and we told Mom, we're not going to be feeding you meat. So she wanted to come and live with us, but we told her, you know, we can try to find other ways to get extra protein, but we're not going to feed you meat. And so the bottom line is she was fine with that, and that's what we've been doing. And there have been no issues with her. They would look at the albumin in the blood, and it's been stable. So we have shown that it's a myth, just like the myth which says you got to eat meat to get protein for anybody. Remember, that used to be taught regularly to everybody. They used to teach PhDs. Some of them are probably still so ignorant that they're teaching that. Most people know that what they would call a vegan diet does work and that you can get protein. So that's the issue, Sister Donna. They would say you have to have meat for the protein, but we have never given Mom meat. Mom has waited until the last 2.5 years of her almost 93. She would be 93 on May 25th. She, you know, the bottom line is she has waited for the last, 2.5 years since she was 90. She was 89 when she came to live with us, I believe. And she waited until that time and is now plant-based. So the bottom line is God is good, and she definitely did very well when she came to us, and I do believe it sustained. I believe Mom was dying when she came, and this gave us two and a half extra years with her. So any other questions, sis?
No, amen. God bless you. God bless you all. I am praying for you.
God bless you. Thank you. We need it. We need it, and we appreciate it, too. Praise God. All right, friends, is there anyone else that has anything? You know, God is a compassionate God. Don't think for 1 minute that I don't cry tears, don't break down. The Lord is good, but we have a promise that we don't have to sorrow even as others which have no hope. Didn't say you can't sorrow. Didn't say you can't grieve. You just don't sorrow and grieve as those who have no hope. You know, I whisper in my mom's ear. I know she knows what's going on. And I say, Mom, we're going to be together in the first resurrection. And sometimes I'll get a little, not grunt, but something verbal that I believe that it's her way of saying yes, you know. And so, you know, just knowing that we made this decision, God led in this decision, tough decision to make, but we'd rather have this kind of time with her rather than just being called to a hospital where, you know, if she's not tolerating dialysis, they were sending her to the hospital after dialysis. We'd rather that we have Jesus in her ear and all day long, however long it takes, rather than just you know, strangers in a hospital and we find out that she's passed away. So she agreed with that. And we then put that plan in motion. Her children were able to see her. People were able to call her. And she talked with them at meaningful times. And so, you know, God is good. Again, we learned in the worship that God leads. He gave specific directions to the disciples to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And so, you know, brothers and sisters, we can actually hear his voice speaking to us, giving us specific instructions if we'll wait for it. All right, is there anybody else that would like to share anything? All right. Oh, I don't think. Yes, we did. Okay. Make sure we did the roll call. God bless you, friends. We will be having service tomorrow at 12. That is on Zoom. It's not, but we'll be here tomorrow in the morning, and we'll have service on Zoom. That Zoom ID is 557-587-3947, and we will be sharing the Word of God in worship together. May God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Father in heaven, thank you very much for this day. Thank you for your love for us. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We give you praise, glory, and honor for being the God who leads and guides. And whichever way and whatever way you want us to go and do whatever you want us to have, whatever you don't want us to have, whatever will honor you and glorify your name, that's what we want, Father, at this hour. We ask that your name will be glorified in our lives. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, friends, God is good, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now in undreamed of. God bless you. Our closing song by the Master's Chorale is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will I will worship the Lord. I will.